My very first field placement assignment was at the Missouri State Psychiatric Hospital in St. Joseph, Missouri. And at that time, they had over 2,000 patients. And that really got me tuned into and aware of the needs of the mentally ill.
So this was a hospital that had 2,000 psychiatric patients in St. Joe.
In St. Joe at that time. And I met so many of the patients who had been there for 20, 30, 40 years or more, people who had been admitted as young adults or teenagers and were now in their 50s or 60s and had literally spent their entire lives in the state hospital. And that really opened my eyes in terms of the needs of people who are mentally ill.
Have you thought about that year since then very much?
Oh, I have. And I refer to that very often in terms of how fortunate I was in some ways to be in really on the ground floor of deinstitutionalization. And I had that experience in a very large psychiatric hospital. And then later in my career, basically seeing what was possible and being a part of creating a system of care that would make so many of those state hospital beds unnecessary.
What was a big moment of when things grew or changed in mental health services?
Oh, I would go back to mental health reform in 1990. I think that was truly a landmark piece of legislation and a major change in our system. And I think in the 4 or 5 years following the passage of the Mental Health Reform Act in Kansas, there was probably more growth and development, not only in Johnson County Mental Health Center, but in the mental health centers throughout the state.
You were on a government-appointed commission to look at how to develop a community mental health system in Kansas?
That would have been in the late 1980s, just before the passage of the Mental Health Reform Act in 1990.
What was the vision that you and others had then?
The governor at the time was Governor Mike Hayden, and he was very supportive of this whole move in terms of building up the community-based mental health system. I think there were a lot of other people involved, too, certainly. I know University of Kansas School of Social Welfare had done a lot of work in terms of identifying the issues and basically providing a perspective in terms of what the potential would be for moving more to a community-based system and away from an institutional system. I think one of the rewarding parts of my career was really being a part of that landmark effort that led to mental health reform and being a part of that group that helped identify and define what was important in terms of building the structure that then became mental health reform and established community mental health centers as the gatekeeper into the public mental health system, the gatekeeper into the state hospital system. I know there have been some other states that have closed a lot of state hospital beds and not invested nearly as heavily in their community mental health centers as happened in Kansas.
And so what do you see as being the most effective ways of supporting and serving people with mental illnesses in our community?
The whole aim of treatment is simply to enable and support people in living lives that are as normal as possible and facilitating some of the things that we take for granted, finding a place to live, figuring out how to manage your money, looking for a job, finding a job, building a social support network, doing our grocery shopping, just keeping our lives organized. That whole interface and the interaction between the criminal justice system and law enforcement and the mental health system has been one of the major developments, certainly looking back over the last 10 years. And when you think of how many people with mental illness end up in the criminal justice system, you realize what a huge challenge and task that is.
So how has that changed Johnson County Mental Health's role and the type of work that you do?
Well, in several ways. One of the things we've been very deeply involved in over the last 5 or 6 years is crisis intervention training, known as CIT training for police officers. And what this does is it gives officers the tools and the information they need in terms of how to deal successfully with somebody who is mentally ill, to know where the resources are that they can access to help people get to the right place if they're mentally ill and to begin to provide options rather than simply arresting or booking somebody into jail. We have another very interesting initiative going on now. It's a pilot project with the Olathe Police Department where a mental health center staff person works a shift at the Olathe Police Department and then responds as a co-responder with officers when they believe they may be dealing with a person who is mentally ill. In the first 3 months of that project, this individual, the staff person, responded along with officers to 90 situations, only three of which resulted in being in bookings into jail. And I thought that was remarkable.
You've been at Johnson County Mental Health for 26 years.
Yes, for 26 years.
What do you see in store in the future?
Well, I think community mental health centers will continue and will probably always be the foundation of the public mental health system. We'll never go back to an institutional system. We know that. I think the challenge and the unknown is to what extent and how well they will be supported.
And so what type of situation, climate, and atmosphere are you leaving Johnson County Mental Health today?
Oh, I think without question, this probably has to be one of the most challenging times that we faced. And it really is driven by the current economic environment. What we see is kind of that inverse relationship. As we have a difficult economic environment and as our funding resources are squeezed and we've lost significant money, especially in our state grants, and simultaneously we see a dramatic increase in the number of people who seek our services. For the last year or two, our intake staff have told me that we average probably 50 or 60 calls a week where the precipitating reason for the person contacting us was economic in nature. People who lost their jobs, lost their insurance, their home is being foreclosed, can't pay their bills, and that is the thing that really pushes them to contact the mental health center. And I think if you look across the state, I think we see the same kind of trend. And I haven't seen specific numbers, but there is no question in my mind that in terms of the number of staff, the workforce is undoubtedly smaller today in the Kansas Community Mental Health Center system than it was 3 or 4 years ago. No question about that. And at the same time, I can't help but think that the need is simultaneously increasing for services.
So is it a difficult time to leave?
Well, this is something that my wife and our family have been talking about for quite some time. You know, I'm 72 years old now, and at some point you simply have to make that decision to leave. And certainly when you look at the kind of climate that we're in and the economic environment, the challenges we have, and you think, I've been at this so long, now maybe now is a good time to get out. And then on the other hand, I think about, you know, maybe I should stay around and see this through because, you know, there's so much work to be done and there's so much need out there. And, you know, and I've basically been in this business because I believe in it. I believe in the services we provide. I believe in the consumers that that we have. And I think it's been an important mission for me, certainly personally in my own life. And so in that sense, it's been kind of hard to step away from it.
David Wiebe, recently retired executive director of Johnson County Mental Health. Thanks for speaking with me.
Thanks. I've certainly enjoyed it.